good singing all the way around. And so we bless the Lord for how good God's been, what he's done, what he's going to do. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Acts this morning. We're going to be looking in the book of Acts in chapter number 20. In the book of Acts in chapter 20. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look in verse 28. In Acts chapter number 20, about verse number 28. The Bible says there in the passage, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, every one night and day with tears." But that's a long time for a warning, isn't it? "And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. We pray you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We thank you for the good singing that we've had. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a sermon entitled, "It's Not All Smooth Sailing." When you look in here and you begin to find out is that there's an attitude of these people there at the church at Corinth, and not only that, but in other churches that he was there, and God had made him overseer. And let me tell you right now, it's the way that it ought to be. You know, whenever God puts you in a place, you can't leave until God's ready for you. God bless you. Thank you very much. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out there's attitudes that comes out. There's accusations that come out. A fact is, when you begin to look into this Bible, you'll find is that the Holy Ghost of God had made him an overseer here at the church of God. Now, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out is that we think somehow or another, boy, if we could have been in a church that was established by the Apostle Paul, things would have been smoother sailing. They were trying to kill him. Those that didn't want to kill him by out and out stoning or whatever, they wanted to be able to starve him to death. In fact is, that's the reason why that, and we'll look there in a few moments, they begin to doubt the Apostle Paul and the validity of his apostleship. They begin to doubt that. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the instigators had seemingly wanted to become the victims. They started a bunch of junk and all that business there. Paul the Apostle said, "I've been warning you with tears for 3 years now." I want to say to you is that when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and realize and know that things were not such smooth sailing back in the New Testament church. In fact, when you begin to look over there in the book of 2 Corinthians, do not lose your text, but in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2, there's a passage there that we ought to be able to look at. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2, and I'll give you a moment to find that as we look there. Chapter 2, verse number 2, 2 Corinthians. In that passage there, here's what he said. "But I determined," verse 1, "this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness." Sometime there was heaviness in the church, in the early church. "For it said, if I made you sorry, who is then that maketh you glad but the same which made you sorry by me?" In other words, we're not out there, and we're not trying to make people feel bad and all that bit. And let me tell you, when you feel bad, I feel bad. When you hurt, I'm hurting. Whenever I can't help you, let me tell you, make no mistake about it, sure it affects me, just like it would you. But in this Bible lesson you're looking at, look in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse number 8. There's a passage there. Chapter 7, here's what he said, verse 8. He says, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive the same epistle which made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now rejoice that you, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorry to repentance. And for," he said, "you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow," and look what it does, "it works repentance to salvation." Let me tell you right now, you know, you'll never get saved by the grace of God till you're sorry about your sin. You'll never get right as a child of God till you're sorry about your sin. But he said, you're not to be sorry after that about salvation. But he says, here's what you're to do. You're to sorrow, not like the world does. For behold, the same thing you worry, sorrow about, the godly sorrow, what carefulness it wrought. You know, whenever you've had godly sorrow, it makes you careful about how you're walking, how you're talking, how you're acting. He said, what clearing of yourselves. What indignation that you have, what fear that you have, what vehement desire that you have, you see. And yea, what revenge that you have. And all these things, you've approved yourselves to be worthy in this manner. I got to tell you, you got to be clear in this manner. And the only way you can be clear is that when you've examined yourself in the light of those things that God has given. I was thinking about in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, is that I'm sure there was a lot of tension. I don't know. It's like, you know, hey, you ought to never get to the place in your heart and your life and whatever you do, you're grown men and grown women. You ain't got to play hopscotch and hide and seek, keep from being able to shake people's hands or to be friendly or be Christian about it. See what I'm talking about? I've been watching that for 50-something years, so you're not the only crowd that has part of that on it. I mean, there's a whole lot of it that's not my cup of tea as well. It's not any of you that's here, by the way. But there's been a time or two that I had to try to swallow that puke down to be able to shake hands and act like everything was all right already. God bless you. Amen. Thank you very much. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, is that you'll find there were people in the early church that played like they were the victim when really they were the instigator about it all the way around. And the only reason why that I know that is because what the Holy Bible says about the Apostle Paul. Do you know that if there was ever a man that was sold out totally and completely unto the Lord, it would have been the Apostle Paul? God used him to pin down better than 2/3 of the New Testament. That is, if you believe that he wrote Hebrews, and I do. I want to say that whenever you look over there in this lesson that's here in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 9, there were times is that they even doubted his apostleship. Notice that. Chapter number 9, 1 Corinthians, verse 3. Paul the apostle asked the question and said, am I not an apostle? And why is he asking them that? Why? I'll tell you why. Because there were some of them there that were casting doubt upon his call as an apostle. He said, am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And are ye not my work in the Lord? And if I be not an apostle to others, yea, doubtless unto you, he said, for the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me in this, there it is. You think that was a little rough sailing back then? Church of Corinth was in an uproar. And there's no doubt some of them that were questioning the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. And he says, in mine answer to them that examine me in this, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead a sister or a wife, other apostles, so forth? And it says, like the brethren and of the Lord and like Cephas, or I only have Barnabas, and have we not power to forbear working, go to warfare at any time on our own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not of it? He talked about they were wanting to somehow or another starve him up and starve him out. Now, I got to tell you right now is, it wasn't real smooth sailing back then in that day. Here's a man, and by the way, you'd better make up your mind that you're going to live for God and walk with God and try to do the best you can by the grace of God. And if not, you're going to let a little squirmish every now and again blow you out of the saddle. You're not going to last long. I've been preaching that for over 50 years, and that's the truth of the matter. I got to look at, whenever I begin to see in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out there's a lot of people out there that are instigators that play like they're the victim. And you know, whenever you begin to look at that and you begin to see that, that doesn't amaze me that stuff's still going on. What amazes me that some of you fall for that. Doesn't amaze me that it happens. It's happening everywhere. It always has. It always will be. It's happening now. But what does amaze me that you could fall for that. Now, I want to say to you, when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, and you'll find out over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 55, you'll find out that the Bible talked about is that you and I ought to be careful about, and certainly we ought to be able to praise in the name of the Lord, and we ought not to let things hinder us one way or the other from serving God. chapter 55, verse number 21, he said, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, and yet they were drawn swords. I got to tell you right now, there's not a little bit of that, but a lot of that that's going on in the New Testament church across the country. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 22, and I want you to look at that, and I want you to see it. In Proverbs, in chapter number 22, there's a passage there. It's in verse number 24. He says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare into thy soul. You want to get a snare into your soul? You find somebody that's getting mad and angry at the preacher, the people of God, the things of God, and I'll tell you what it'll do is it'll get off on you if you're not careful. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 29, Proverbs in chapter 29, there's a passage over there that you ought to look at. It's in verse number 22. He says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride will bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, I want to say to you that if you will, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And I want to say to you that if you will, that it'd be a whole lot better if we could all dwell in unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But it looks like it's not going to be that way. Now, I want you to pay close attention, and if you don't hear anything else, at least turn your ears on so you can listen now. If something happened, you feel like you needed to leave and go somewhere else, then that's what you ought to do. You better be careful, though, in case you miss God, you would be allowed to be able to come back. You could come back and say, hey, preacher, what's it going to take to fix this thing? I've been wrong, so forth and on. But you never see that in the day and hour, hardly, that we're living. I've seen it one or two times, but most of the time, it just gets worse and worse and deeper and deeper. Now, before that I lose you as an audience, and I hope not to ever lose you, I love you dearly. I think you've shown such toward my family and myself. But let me just tell you right now, before that you do as others have done, don't think you can be disrespectful to a pastor. And God, take that lightly. Something else. You're going to find out whenever people have showed disrespect toward leadership. Don't you think God's looking? Either you believe God's appointed me here for 31 years and you believe that I'm God's man, or you've got to go back and tell all of your lost kin folks, I should have listened to y'all 30 years ago. Now, I want to tell you right now, there's never room for disrespect to leadership, and I don't care who you are. But I said that if you ever decided you needed to leave and wanted to come back and find out you've missed God, you'd be welcome here. That couple the other night, not so. They dismissed themselves and accused a church of not doing anything for God. So they took themselves out of the equation. Now, do you realize and recognize and know that if you wanted to follow with them, you're following a self-appointed man. You're following a man that's self-called, if anything. I mean, he's not divine. He's not divinely called. He hadn't surrendered anywhere. And not only that, you'll find out they've self-canceled themselves. You don't find many people, to where they stand up in a congregation, denounce the whole thing. So all that just because they're angry and because they're mad. So you see what I'm talking about? And you follow that and go along with that. I don't care if it's a nursing home minister, wherever that it is, you're following somebody that is self-appointed, that is self-called, and now has self-canceled themselves. Now, I feel bad for the kids. But I've been dealing with this other thing for about 20 years. I know some stuff that you don't know. But go ahead on. I love you anyway. I mean that. And I've had a preacher called about where they visited and all that. At least he had enough dignity to be able to do that. I said, if you can help them, help them. That's the way I leave it. Make no mistake about it, that's the way that it is. Now, in closing, I want to tell you something, is that we're never going to be able to dwell together in unity again, ever, and with the bond of peace, until you see the reality of what's going on. And if you feel differently than I do, and like he was not disrespectful, you need to go with them wherever that is. I know they used to be Shady Acres was in their eye. Now something's happened there, obviously. And let me tell you right now is that you're going to find there's never been a smooth time of smooth sailing. There's always going to be a few yes ands, buts, and maybe so, and little storms and gales that arise that can be put down. But sometime you just have to stop and look at it for what it is. So let me tell you right now is you don't hate this no worse than I do, I promise you. This ain't eating on you no worse than it has me, I promise you. See? And I mean, here I am now getting to be nearly as old as some of you are. What a way to finish out a ministry. See? But still, I'm right on time. God's right on time. And make no mistake about it. There's been a wrong here committed. And let me tell you, they're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper until they're past the point of no return. Now, if you want to be in sympathy with that, you should be with them. I love you. God bless you. I hope we'll see you again tonight. I see we've got another person that's out. You never know in a deal like this if they're out just because they're up to no good, but they ought to be gone. Just, hey, God bless you. Be gone. And we'll keep going. We'll keep going. And that's just the way that it is. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. We praise you and we thank you, thou art God. Beside thee, there is none else. We pray that now that you would move upon us within us.